Hello again. Everybody up this morning or? We are speaking of our sermon series about prayer. And this is a very important topic to speak about. Prayer is the essence of our relationship with God. Through prayer, we can move mountains. Through prayer, every single one of you guys gave your life to Christ one day. And all of that was possible through prayer. Before we begin our sermon today, I'm just going to take a moment to pray. Thank you, Father God, for this day, Lord. Thank you because you allowed me this opportunity, Lord, to preach your gospel, Lord, to preach your word to this congregation, Father God, this thirsty and hungry for your word, Father. I ask you, Lord, that as we move forward with the sermon, Father God, that you will touch the needs, Lord, of your people, Father God, that you will touch the needs of your congregation, Father God, that is hungry for you, Lord. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I am a living testimony to this verse. If it wasn't for the prayers of my mom and my dad, I would not be here today. If it wasn't for the prayers of those mothers that prayed for their sons and the sons of other mothers that are lost, I wouldn't be here today. And many of us wouldn't be here today. Because of prayer, we have this amazing facility that we have today to worship God. Like I said in first service, I've been here 8 months approximately. I don't really know too much of the history of First Church, but I see an old sanctuary, and I see a new sanctuary. And that leads me to know that there was a group of people in the old sanctuary praying for God to supply for this new sanctuary. That leads me to know that there was a group of people that had received a vision from God and knew that in 2020, we will have a congregation they will need a facility like this to be able to praise the Lord in. And guess what? This was possible through what? Through prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a power in prayer. In prayer, we can do great and amazing things in the hands of God. Through prayer, we can save our lost family members. Through prayer, we can reach the unreachable. Through prayer, we can minister to those that can't be ministered to. Through prayer, we can set the captives free. Through prayer, we can break the chains, break generational curses, shed the light in the midst of the darkness. Because that's what God has called us to do. God has called us to be the light of the world. And to be the light, we must be connected to God. And to be able to be connected to God, we must live a life of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." If we dissect this verse, do not be anxious. Us as humans, as soon as a bad situation arises, what do? We get worried. We start stressing out. Our anxiety goes through the roof. I am a person that I need to have everything. I need to know what's going on around my life, and I need to have everything in order. If not, I will go crazy. Melissa this year, she's a witness to that. Because I'm always asking questions and always texting her and Pastor about stuff because I need to know what's going on around me. And God has had to deal with me in that aspect because I can't control everything that's around me. I can't let my anxiety and of the unknown and different situations take control of me. And God, little by little, has been teaching me that I need to learn how to let go of certain things. I was very busy with my day-to-day life and everything else, and I didn't have time, per se, to spend as much time as I would like with my family and do certain things. I was busy always running, always doing stuff. And guess what? God put me in a cast for a month now and said, slow down. You know, I can't control when this is going to heal. And that was something that was driving me crazy. When am I going to get off this boat? When am I going to get off the cast? And God's like, hey, I got that. Worry about the things that you can control, and let me worry about the things you can't control. Many times, we want to know everything and have the answer to everything. And many times, we expect to have everything figured out. If we have everything figured out and we do everything on our own, where's the room for God? Where's the room for the power of God to work within us? Where's the room for faith to grow? If everything comes out right, if we don't face adversity, if we never go through trials and tribulations, where do we leave room for the power of God to be manifested in our lives? We go through things, not just because God wants us to go through things, no, but for us to be able to understand the power of God through our trials, to be able to see the hand of God through our situations. Now, part of this message is to talk about salvation and the power of prayer for salvation for our family members. How many of you guys pray for your lost family members? All of us at one time were lost. Whether you were born in the church or not. My parents have been pastors for 15 years, planted a church in Chicago. I'm not going to heaven because of my parents' prayers. I'm not going to heaven because my dad's a pastor. I had to have my own encounter with God. I can't say I'm saved because my dad's saved. I'm saved because my dad preaches on Sundays about salvation and the power of God. I had to have my own encounter with God. I had to seek God's presence by myself, not piggyback off of my dad's experiences. Every one of us that are here today have to have our own experience and encounter with God. And that's only going to happen through prayer. The way you're going to save your family members is through prayer. You can talk to them about Jesus till you're blue in the face. But if you don't pray for your family members and present them to God on a daily basis, nothing's going to happen. You got to pray for your family members. Pray for God to reveal himself to them the way God once revealed himself to you. We are all saved by grace. Grace is what has us here today. And how do we achieve that grace? Through forgiveness, through prayer. First Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's going to do something this weekend on our prayer vigil. And if you have not signed up So participate. I suggest you sign up. We're always asking, Lord, do something in my life. God, I want to see this in my life. I want that. But what are you doing to obtain that? What are you doing to obtain your blessing that you know God has promised to you? What are we doing as a congregation to be of service to our community? I love how First Church of God is involved in so many different things in the community. We help out in so many different areas. We give in so many different areas. We help out so many different ministries. And that's amazing. That's awesome. And I applaud the congregation for that. Because of you guys, that's possible. But are we praying for the ministries that we're pouring into financially? Are we praying for our community that we're helping out? Are we presenting our community in prayer to God? Asking God that we help our community in a bigger way, not just financially? Yes, money helps, but so does prayer. If I am able to preach today, standing here, is because of prayer. I told God, I said, Lord, I don't want to preach on Sunday in pain, Father God. I don't want to preach on Sunday limping around, and Lord, I don't want to preach that way. And yesterday, Friday and yesterday, I hadn't had pain all week. All week. Friday started the tingling of my foot. And I'm like, man, here we go. And yesterday, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to preach like this, Father God. I want to be able to stand here and I have to be rushed because I'm in pain. I want to give to your people what you have for them. And this morning, last night and this morning, as I woke up and got off of my bed and planted my feet on the floor, I was praying free. I said, Lord, medicine doesn't do this. I haven't taken my pain medicine in over a week. Medicine didn't do this. You did this. I'm able to stand here firmly and preach the gospel to your church because I received my healing this morning. Yes, I have discomfort. Yes, I'm bruised, but I'm pain-free. And that's through prayer. Only God can do that. And I'm telling you this morning, First Church, prayers was going to take us to the next level. Prayers was going to start breaking the chains in our church. Prayers was going to start breaking generational curses that haunt our families. Prayers was going to start breaking addictions. I don't think you guys are understanding what I'm bringing today. I don't think you guys are listening to the message. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, if you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. Isn't that an amazing promise that we have? It says, if you believe, it's not just to pray. It's to believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's to believe what you're saying. It's to have faith in your prayer, to have faith in your walk with God, to have faith in the power of God. First Church, do we believe in the power of God? First Church, do we have faith that we can move mountains? First Church, do we believe in God? Do we believe in the power of God? This morning, I'm here to wake you guys up. There's a revival coming to our church. I believe that wholeheartedly. I did not come to this church by accident. I wasn't brought here to have fun with the kids and to laugh and everything else and to sit down and play the piano. I did not come for that. I told God, Lord, wherever you bring me, I want to bring a revival. I want to bring that fire that you have given to me. Who's ready to receive that fire from the Holy Spirit? Who's ready to wake up in the spirit and claim the blessings that God has brought upon our lives? It's time to wake up, First Church. God has called us to do great and amazing things. But until we don't take our leap of faith and believe and hold on to the power of God, we're not going to accomplish anything. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power that God has invested in me, that God has poured down into me. I believe that this weekend, it's going to be a weekend that our church is never going to forget. I know, I am certain that lives will be changed this weekend. I know that miracles will happen within those 24 hours. Things are already starting to move. Things are already starting to happen. I was speaking to my father last week. And I told him, hey, Dad, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer vigil at the church. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, we're doing it from Friday night to Saturday afternoon. 24 hours, 6 to 6. And my dad said, son, I will be there on Saturday. Two different congregations praying in one accord to enlarge the kingdom of heaven. I believe that's the beginning of something amazing. That's the spark that we need. First Church, the revival in our town is going to start with us. And I claim that, and I hold on to that. The revival of Hoopston, Illinois, is going to start in our congregation. Are we up for the task? Are we up to the responsibility of starting that revival? Are we up for that? Church, God is a God of fire. God is a God of power, and God's power is beyond our understanding. God's power goes beyond anything we can imagine. If Jesus was able to die on that cross and rise up on the third day, that's power. That was power. If Jesus was able to stop a 40-year fluid of blood by his mantle, that's power. If Moses was able to part the sea, that's power. And where did that power come from? From God. And do you guys think that Moses was more special than us? You guys think that Elijah was more special than us? Do you guys think that the prophets were more special in the eyes of God than us? We all have access to that power. But it's up to you to connect to the source. An extension cord is useless unless it's connected to the outlet. The outlet is God, and we are God's extension cords. What do you use an extension cord for? When another plug can't reach the outlet, you grab an extension cord and connect power to that other plug, correct? When your family members can't reach salvation, you're going to be that extension cord that extends salvation to them. Your family can't reach the outlet. You make the outlet reach your family. Your family can't come to church. Take the church to them. Give access to the power that God has vested in you. And now for those that are watching, you probably watched the first service. If you did, Pastor Carlos, that's a completely different message than you brought for first service. I'm not the one preaching this morning, it's God. And I let God flow. I let the Holy Spirit guide me to what I'm doing. I never bring a message through my own understanding. I never bring what I want to bring. I let the Lord speak through me. Why? Because if I say what I want to say, you will never receive what God wants you to receive. If I let myself be used as a vessel, you guys will receive what you need to receive, because I don't know your hearts. I don't know your needs. But God does. And we are connected to God through what? Through prayer. First Church, and I feel the Holy presence of God at this moment. We are going to another level. We are climbing levels, First Church. We're not going to stay the same. And you have to be ready for what's coming. You have to be ready to start sowing the crops. I know we have many farmers here, correct? Many people that know all the farm life and everything like that. What happens when the crops are ready to get pulled out and you don't pull them out in time? What happens to all that months of hard work? It withers and dies, correct? Our crops are ready to get pulled. There's not enough workers to pull the load. God is calling each and every one of us. It's time for us to start connecting people and bringing people to the feet of Jesus through prayer. First Church, I love you guys so much. Since the day I stepped foot into this place, me and my family have felt nothing but love. We come from two completely different cultures, two completely different backgrounds, but we all come from the same God. Jesus promised us salvation through Him. We are promised to do immensely more than we can ever imagine through Christ. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It doesn't say some or many. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How many of you guys believe that? How many of you guys believe that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you? How many of you believe that you can do all things through Christ that sets you free? How many of you believe that you can do all things through Christ that gave you victory over sin, over addiction, over depression, over suicide, over everything that you were facing? God has given us the victory. We already won. Jesus paid the price of salvation for us. We don't have to pay no price. Salvation is a gift that was paid through blood and sacrifice for us. Are we taking that gift for granted? Or are we living according to the will of God? Do we understand what salvation really means? Or do we just come to church because our family comes to church? Do we understand what being saved truly means? Or do we say we're saved because our family members are saved? I'm not saved because my dad's saved. And I had to understand that real fast. I'm not going to heaven because my parents are pastors. I'm going to heaven because I have a connection with God. And if I lose that connection with God, guess what? I'm not going to heaven. I'm not saved because my wife is saved. My wife is not saved because I'm saved. Because guess what? When we go from this earth and we stand in front of the Father, you're standing alone. There's no mom, no dad, no husband, no wife. It's just you and whatever you did on earth being judged by God. And is God going to tell you, come in, my faithful servant, enjoy heaven? Or are you going to get casted away for not doing the things that you were supposed to do? And I know this sermon might be a little harsh, but it's the truth. And I have an obligation before God and before you guys to preach to you guys a word that's uncorrupted, non-biased, and true. A lot of preachers nowadays conform to the world, conform to what the congregation wants to hear. They conform to the new times. It's a new era. It's a new wave of church. God is still the same. Sin is sin. No matter how the times change, no matter how the church changes, no matter how the technology changes, sin is sin. And that's not going to change. What was sin 200 years ago is still sin today. No matter how much the times change. Now today, can you honestly reflect in yourself and say, I am saved? That's the real question that we must ask ourselves. Are you saved? Do you have that assurance in God that you're saved? First church, if you have that assurance with God and you know in your heart that you're saved and you're living a life that proves that, then Pastor David is doing his job. I'm doing my job. The leaders are doing their jobs. First church, you must know that you're saved. It's not a maybe. It's not, oh, I think I'm saved. No, I am saved. Have that assurance in God, in the Word, that you are saved. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. Church, there's something that happens when you humble yourself in the presence of God. And when you're in that intimacy with God, chains start to break. When you're in that intimacy with God, things start to move. Things start to shift. Petitions start being answered. Miracles start happening. Lives are changed. Lives are transformed. But you got to be connected with God. You have to have that connection with God. You have to be plugged to the outlet. I'm just here to tell you, First Church, come on Friday. If you're expecting God to do something in your life, you've been waiting for something to happen in your life, come on Friday. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you on Friday. And this petition that I've had, this worry that I've had, this situation that I'm facing, I'm going to put it in your hands. And I'm going to let you handle it and take care of it. Do that this weekend. I guarantee you, you will not regret it. As I ask the worship team to come up, this song that they're going to play and sing, pay attention to the lyrics of this song. Pay attention to the message behind that song. And meditate in the Lord as we stand.